Well, good. Yes. I'm going to shift things around. Is this thing echoing? Yes. Real loud. Okay. Test the one. Good. Since some of our young people have vacated, we're going to wait and show the video at 11 o'clock. And so don't be disappointed. I think we can get it up. I forgot and left a thumb drive at home that had it where we could just download it. So we'll pull it off of YouTube, hopefully, and look at it. But I did want to spend a little time this morning just sharing from Jackie and I. A lot of you come to us and say, what's going on? You know, are you working? Are you not working? Well, you're going to hear it, okay? But first, Jack and I'd like to thank you for your commendation. It's encouraging to know, and really it's more of an accountability commendation than the fact that we get the privilege to go to a number of assemblies and on Sundays. And I was very cautious, maybe is a word, that should something happen, should I say something wrong, I needed a group of men that I could go to. And so I searched long and hard for a group of wise men. And guess what? Fairbluff elders were where I wanted to go. And in case something would happen, I knew they would tell me the truth and be very open and honest. And so that was what that was about. You know, when you're out and you guys know we're gone a good bit, who you're accountable to? And that was very important to Jackie and I. And so, again, thank you for that. Let me start by telling you, one, we are still working, okay? Two jobs, okay? We still are secular employed, and we still are doing a lot of mountaintop stuff, a lot of administration. Jackie actually has backed down. She's working part-time. And we're going to see how that works. And then if that doesn't work, we'll go to no time. And her boss was very good with that. And we can kind of set her schedule. So that gives us flexibility. And that's what we were looking for. With my job, they are interviewing someone. And how that goes, we'll find out. But they've kind of put a line in the sand 1st of April. To relieve me from our plant experience. And I'm sharing this, and Steve's at our plant. So, Steve, I would ask, please keep this personal. The plant knows. I have been very open with them about that. They just might not know some of the details I'm going to share with you. So please be conscious of that. But hopefully, starting January, I'm going to try to reduce my exposure, my physical exposure in Union, South Carolina. I commute from Charlotte to Union, and if you want to know, it's 72 miles. It's an hour and a half one way. I don't do it every day. I stay down there some nights to give me more time to do my other job at night. So I do travel still a good bit. And then I also am a sales rep for our company. And long-term goal would be I would continue to be a sales rep. And I set my schedule. I can work from anywhere I want to work and really kind of set my own travel schedule so I can work when I want to work, and it would give me flexibility as well. We'll do that and see if that works. And if that doesn't work, we will look to just saying that R word, retirement. So, but we're not retiring just from secular work. So anyway, continue to pray for us. We're looking for direction, for timing, for discernment. You know, when you face that, I know several of you in the audience have faced, when do you stop? And I've always said it's the hardest decision a professional athlete has to make. When do they stop playing? Well, when do I stop working? And we're looking for the Lord's clear direction. He's opening some doors. I'll share that with you. We're seeing our involvement increase more and more at camp. Many of you know our brother Stan McKay went to be with the Lord, and we've picked up a lot what he was doing in the background as far as donations. You'll see our letters and our receipts coming to you. We do that. That's something we can do at night and on the weekends. So we do that as well for the camp. And so you'll see that. Meanwhile, before I forget, up here on the front, if you need a reminder to pray for Mountaintop and for Jackie and I, there's pens, there's a carabiner keychain, so Joe doesn't forget his keys, or you know, sometimes we misplace, we can do that. So it's got our logo on it, so feel free to do that. And I actually put a couple copies of our latest newsletter up here, so help yourself with that during the break. I think, before we get into the word, let me share one other thing. You know, you don't realize it. I know Glenn has experienced it because he shared it with me, him and Ruth. But you don't realize what separation does for you or does to you. You know, yes, we call Fairbluff home, but a lot of times we're separated. And, you know, honestly, we miss seeing you. We miss the talking, the chatting, and whatnot. That's one of the things we miss. That's the bitter side of what we do. The sweet side of what we do, we meet other people. And we've gotten to know a number of families as we've traveled through North Carolina, Virginia. And so we've been able to bond a little bit, but then we leave and don't see them for 3 or 4 months. And then you go back and that type of thing. So pray for us. It's more of an itinerant. You know, our attendance here is more of an itinerant. And so there is a loss there that we see. And the friendship, the companionship. But I want you, all our golfing buddies that go with us on the trip, if you'll remember, and it won't take you hard to remember, there's two of us that love to encourage each other. And during the weekend, we do a lot of motivation and encouraging, sometimes in the wrong direction, okay? But this morning, that brother texted me and said, I hope you're not going to preach on pride goes before the fall. Well, unbeknownst to me, I thought he was talking about our dismal defeat last night in football. I didn't know his team knocked off the number 5 team, so he shared that with me. And I'm not going to mention his name, but he's got a big Gamecock shirt, okay? So if you can find that Gamecock, you'll see him. Well, I responded to him, no, not that. I'm just going to talk about suffering because we suffered through a defeat last night. But we encourage each other, and believe it or not, those little barbs really help and motivate us. But another particular joy we experience, really, and we see it more on camp time, is the multi-generational family involvement. And I could give you story after story of somebody's grandfather or somebody's father. Now we're talking to their children or their children's children, and we see them come up through camp. So we really enjoy seeing the connection there with families in the past. So that's a true encouragement to us. So, as we get into the Word, here's some things to pray for Jackie and I. And we hope you do pray for us. One is timing. You know, timing is very critical for everything. And we don't want it to be Barry and Jackie's plan. We want it to be the Lord's plan. You know, what is our timing to do, to totally quit? What is our timing to relocate? What is our timing? And that's the big thing that we're looking for. Discernment. How do we discern what to do? You know, camp runs, really it's all year. You don't see it, but really during the spring, summer, and fall. But in the off season, really when we're crunching papers, looking at filings, looking at revamping administration records, et cetera, et cetera. And so we really need discernment as to what to do. And you know the culture we live in today. And that culture is challenging us more and more as to what we can document. I know the elders went through and looked at facility use and how to utilize these facilities here. We're having to do the same thing with camp and whatnot. So there's a lot of discernment there. And then for the Lord's wisdom wisdom, because timing, as I mentioned, when to do certain things. And I'm going to share some at 11 o'clock that we're planning to do at Mountaintop, and we're looking for his timing on that. Well, hopefully, if you have any more questions about us, feel free to ask. Jackie loves to tell you, and she'll also continue to tell you, well, we're still separated, not physically in our minds. As to Barry wants to do this, and Jackie wants to do this, as far as where we want to move and where we want, what we want to move to or in. So we're still working on that. Well, let's just pray, and then we'll open up God's Word for the next few minutes, and then we'll carry on at 11 o'clock. Our God and Father, we do thank you for the privilege of being able to look into your word and glean the truths that you would have in it. Lord, we know that your word tells us that all scripture is given by the inspiration of you and is profitable. And so we would ask that as a result of opening your word today, that each one of us would gain from it. And you use your spirit to apply that which you would desire in our own lives and our own hearts. Lord, we give you thanks for the great salvation we have through our Lord and Savior in his name. Amen. If you'll turn to the book of Ephesians, and okay, here we go. All right. Okay. Now, this is not original. If you're as old as I am, you would have remembered this actually came from Mountaintop, one of our messages years ago. But I want to look in the book of Ephesians at seven walks. And we're going to look at those seven. I'm glad Jonathan ran us through the book last week. So we're going to go seven. Not really. We're not going to hit every point. I'm going to give them to you, but I'm only going to emphasize three of them. But there are seven walks, and this is the gist of it. My talk talks and my walk talks, but my walk talks louder than my talk talks. Everybody got it? Repeat after me. My talk talks and my walk talks, but my walk talks louder. Okay, that was fair. Let's try it again. We got to pick it up a little bit. Come on, we're going to wake you up. Here we go. My talk talks and my walk talks, but my walk talks louder than my talk talks. Okay, and you're going to hear me repeat that, and I'll try not to mess it up because it will get confusing sometimes. But, you know, sometimes we say something and then we do something different. And that's what we're talking about. How is our walk? There we go. And so, as we look at these, I want to challenge myself, and I hope you would challenge yourself to these seven walks. Now, a couple of them are going to be very easy to kind of check off. No. So that's good. Maybe you can't do that. But as we dig deeper into the Word, you'll see that it gets a little more difficult in our walking. So how is my walking? Now here are the seven. And for your convenience, I've highlighted the three that we're going to focus on. And then that maybe later on we'll come and give you. These are the seven I want to highlight this morning. But I do want to start out as you're opening there, and I will wait. I see some of you writing. The first one I call the pseudo walk, and that walk is the false walk. And that's the unsaved walk, we would say, in the church. But, you know, a lot of people don't know that it's the false walk. It's the walk of the world. And Ephesians chapter 2, we see that in the very beginning. And it says in verse 2, ye walked according to the course of this world. In other words, you did the same thing the world does. And so that's the pseudo walk, the false walk. And, you know, a lot of people think that's all there is. But there's not. And as you see, second point, and we'll hit that hard, is the prepared walk. And then right following the prepared walk, you'll see the preferred walk. Okay, so we're going to hit those. But in Ephesians, everybody finished writing? Good. The first one, and I'm just going to buzz through this, and so we can introduce the second one. But this is really a life-changing. You have to make that decision from walking with the world or in the world or doing the world things. You have to make that decision to have that life-changing experience. And we'll show you what happens after that life-changing experience in the Word. But notice, he says, you. He's talking to the church of Ephesus. He says, you formerly walked. And praise God, he can say formerly walked. But you know, there could be some today with us that still in this walk, the false walk. It looks like things are going good. You might play the game. I see that a lot with young people. You know, you might act good in the chapel up at Mountaintop. But then you get out on the ball field and you're a completely different character. My talk talks and my walk talks, but my walk talks louder than my talk talks. And so we see evidence. Okay, there's a contradiction there. Well, is that happening to me? Is that existing in my life? Do I say one thing on Sunday and do something else the rest of the week? Again, not going to spend much time on it. But it tells us not to walk like that. And if you need to discuss this, please, or someone that you have confidence in, to explain exactly what this life-changing experience is, how Jesus Christ came into this world, walked it, he was buried, he was sacrificed at Calvary, he was buried, and he rose again that third day so that we could have a different walk. And that's what we're going to be talking about in our next walk, which is the prepared walk. And this walk, as I go through these, I have some asterisks in my own notes. This is one of my walks that I like to focus on because it's easy for us to get sidetracked. And let's look at this prepared walk, and then we'll dismiss for our social time. But if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, at least two of these verses very well. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, God's grace. We can't work our way to heaven. We have to trust Him. We have to change from that pseudo walk. But notice verse 10. Once we make that transformation, we read in verse 10, for we are His workmanship. So we've changed from me to Him. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now remember, in verse 9 it says, not of works we're saved, but once I'm saved, I'm to do a work. And it's His good work. And then notice the footnote. It says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should do them. So as we make that transition, that transformation from, say, unsaved to saved, from being a non-Christ one to a Christ one, once we make that transformation, now we have something to do. But the big question is, what is that? What does the Lord have for me to do? What does He have for you to do? I can tell you He's got something. And most of the time, other people might can help you get there as far as what to do. But Scripture tells me that we should do them. The very last phrase, we should walk in them. We should apply them. We should do them. You know, God demonstrated His love. If you look back in verse 4 of chapter 2, you can see that, His great love for us and His mercy. And because of that, then we should desire to do what He would like for us to do once we have become a child of God. You know, that transformation happens instantly once we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the transformation happens quick, but guess what? The doing takes a long time. There's a youth song that says, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him only a week to make the sun and the moon, the earth and the stars, but he's still working on me." And I hope he's working on you too. But let him keep on. We call that sanctification. So in the Christian life, that's what we call it. But the transformation happens. Now notice the process. Salvation. Then we're his workmanship. We're created for his good works. Remember, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And then God has ordained that we should walk in them. So notice, don't get the order reversed. A lot of people do. A lot of people want to say, "I got to do good works to get Christ, and then I can be used of God." That doesn't work that way. That's not God's formula. It's right there, clear and simple, in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Notice in verse 13, and this is the real life-changing experience. If you're in that pseudo-walk and you've made that transition to the prepared walk, verse 13 really is the glowing star of it. It says, "But now," or "because," being in Christ Jesus, "you were sometimes close," no, "afar off, and are made nigh by the blood of Christ." That's the price that was paid for us to have this relationship. The question this morning as we exit and go out in fellowship, where do we stand today? Are we walking in the pseudo walk, in the old lifestyle? Or are we walking, getting ready to prepare to do what he wants us to do, the prepared walk? So we'll look at a couple more as we move forward this morning. We'll actually pick back up on this prepared walk, and then we'll go right on in to the next one. So look forward to fellowshipping with you in just a few moments. Let's give him the glory. God, we thank you for the privilege of just looking into your word. Thank you for the fact that you really know how to meet our needs. You know that we're just frail. But we're so thankful we can be saved by your grace, so that we can have a new life, and so that life can be transformed. And then we're amazed in the fact that you desire for us to be a part of your own work. And we'll see other examples of that as we move through the book of Ephesians this morning. But we're so thankful, Lord, that you've given us this privilege. Lord, we do pray for those that still might be under that spell of that pseudo walk, the false walk, the attraction of the world. Lord, we would just pray that someone's here this morning and the world still has their grip upon them. They think that's what life's all about, that's what it's all is. Lord, we trust that your spirit would speak to them and let them see that you love them. You love them enough to send your son to give his life so that they could have life and that they could have a relationship with you. We're so thankful that we spent that precious time already this morning thinking of him who gave so much so that we could have so much. Lord, we would just ask your blessing upon the food and the drink that we'll consume in just a few moments. May our fellowship be honoring to you as we entertain each other and greet each other. Again, Lord, thank you for loving us so. In our Savior's name, amen.